social media for beautiful food and inspiration.
She gets away from you. Swears in a pool of mud and cry. All your friends say that you're a nice guy. Have a drink, this one's on me. Look, you're doing fine, losing to your disease. Donuts, toast, I'll pack your bags. Bury you with my cash, ready to go. Oh, I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy. We're all nice guys, but all of you are assholes. He's a nice guy, she's a nice guy. Hey, Tom, Bob's a nice guy. All of you are assholes. Nice guys. There's a man in a word of pride.
Fuck off, jerk off.
I don't wanna hear it.
Fuck off, jerk off.
Read into the lyrics. So let the fuck you still quench your thirst. As long as you remember that nice guy is finished.
What's up, everybody? What's up, podcast listeners? I'm not going to put this on YouTube because if I put anything about vaccines on YouTube, they give me a fucking strike now. This is The Plex. We do the show live on Twitch every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific and beyond into red light. Some nights we go late. You can find the show at twitch.tv/EchoPlexMedia. Yeah, check out all our live shows. We're live fucking 6 or 7 days a week. And we got all kinds of different content and a great community around here most of the time. You can support this project at patreon.com/echoplex. And I don't know, check out our website, echoplexmedia.com. If you have any other questions, this is what the people want.
Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Everything's fine and it's great. the traffic, the time, and the news. How's your commute? What do you do? Sorry I'm late, I kept hitting snooze. It's just one of those days. You know what they say. It is what it is. Ignorance is bliss. When it rains, it pours. Couldn't ask for more. What goes around comes around, all in good time. I guess that your guess is as good as mine.
Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great.
Our first story is about January 6th. I've been following this guy's Twitter. It's Scott McFarlane. You'll be able to see it up on the screen in a second. He does some pretty good videos that give you a rundown of what's going on. And instead of me trying to explain this, I'll let somebody who is better at talking into a camera without video playing explain it. We're learning some more stuff about January 6th. Our first two stories on the podcast docket are about January 6th.
Hey, it's Scott McFarlane. As the weeks go by, we are just buried increasingly in paper in the January 6th cases. Conservatively, thousands of pages of motions have been filed, and the more paper we read through, the more references we see to Speaker Nancy Pelosi. It's becoming clear in the picture being painted by prosecutors, some of these defendants were focused, if not fixated, on Nancy Pelosi that day. That includes in the new superseding indictment announced by the Justice Department today, a group accused of conspiracy as early as December to disrupt on January 6th, a group accused of at some point preparing or bringing firearms, ammunition, mace, and taser near D.C. on January 6th. Now, two members of this alleged conspiracy have pleaded not guilty, but according to the superseding indictment, one of them is accused of sitting in Vice President Pence's chair, and one of them is accused of bragging when he departed the Capitol that he was the first to sit in Nancy Pelosi's chair and reference Pelosi as a traitor. Never mind this group's accused of being in the U.S. Senate that day. Her name came up. Then there's the case of Dawn Bancroft, a plea agreement hearing scheduled for Tuesday afternoon. At this point, Bancroft's pleaded not guilty, but that hearing's now on the books for tomorrow. It's a lower-level case, lower-level charges. Bancroft, among other things, is accused of saying on video, "We were looking for Nancy to shoot her in the friggin' brain."
Whoa! Find her.
And there's the case of Pauline Bauer. We've talked about this one before. Defending herself in her January 6th case, she's pleaded not guilty. And the prosecutors say on video on January 6th, she's heard saying words to the effect of, "This is where we find Nancy Pelosi. Bring that effing B out here now." And then there are the weekend court filings in a pair of January 6th cases, the likes of which these filings I've never seen before in a case. Two defendants headed towards sentencing, asking for leniency. The prosecutors respond in one of the cases saying the defendant admitted to hearing rioters in the speaker's conference room and hearing a rioter screaming to expletive on her desk. The other defendant entered the House or Senate floor and, quote, did not contemplate defecating on anyone's desk. That's where we are in some of these cases as September ends. If these defendants go to sentencing, pleading guilty or convicted in the future, we'll see if judges consider or discuss references to Nancy Pelosi during sentencing.
See, again, that's Scott McFarlane. That's at MacFarlane, F-A-R-L-A-N-E, news. Pretty good videos. He's been kind of keeping track of what's going on with the court filings for the January 6th defendants. And a lot of wild shit happening. They also stole a door. I've been hoping that the door comes up because they stole a door. All right. So here's AOC. She's talking in Congress, and she's going to talk about law enforcement being involved in the January 6th, we'll call them, events.
Police officers shelters have been dismissed across the United States, including Virginia, Texas, Florida, Michigan, Nebraska, and Louisiana for having ties to the Ku Klux Klan. And we also know that more than 30 active or retired police officers joined the January 6th attack on the Capitol, and at least 7 are facing charges connected to that day. Director Langan, I take it you are familiar with this 2006 bulletin, correct?
I may have to review that bulletin, ma'am, to recall it exactly.
No worries. To your knowledge, what do we know about the radicalization efforts among certain officers already in police departments and the effort to recruit white nationalists joining police departments across the United States?
Yes, ma'am. Well, as I mentioned before, individuals that are in positions of trust have radicalized ideas and gravitate towards hate and violence are of very concerning, as they've always been. We work with our local partners very closely to help identify and to educate their departments on proper vetting and on standards of acceptance. So we are constantly working to try to make sure that that does not exist. Mm-hmm. I can speak an overwhelmingly amount of law enforcement interactions that we have with the FBI are positive, and that does represent a very, very small amount of law enforcement, but an amount that can never be tolerated.
Thank you. One aspect of the Biden administration's counterterrorism strategy is the focus on detecting these insider threats, that is, ensuring that no one in state or federal government abuses their position by engaging in domestic terrorism-related activities of any kind. Now, what happens when the FBI does find instances of white nationalists in local law enforcement? What does the FBI do?
Well, if the individuals are part of an ongoing or conducting or plan to conduct any type of criminal actions, we would, along with the U.S. Attorney's Office, try to open an investigation and determine whether or not there are charges. If the individual is showing that they are memberships of a group that may be deemed to be a racist or a group that's focused on hate, that becomes the departmental issue on how that they will proceed with that employee.
Okay, so it sounds like there isn't a protocol for what to do when a police officer is found to be part of a white supremacist organization.
No, ma'am. There's no central method to notify the FBI about violent extremism. Stressing the importance of partnership between local law enforcement and the FBI.
Okay, so that's something that I just would like the committee to note, that that there's no currently existing protocol of what to do when a member of law enforcement is discovered to be part of an organization like the Ku Klux Klan. But this is very important information. I thank you for your candor.
I don't know. He didn't really answer questions. Because I think the answer is the FBI does nothing and allows the police office that allows, maybe it's not even an allow thing. Maybe it's not their job. I don't know. But maybe the policy is to let the police department handle it internally, which I'm guessing is the policy, because that makes it so that like the so that the fucking FBI doesn't have to actually do anything, and kind of lets them off the hook and lets them kind of shirk the responsibility that they could possibly have off on local law enforcement agencies, sometimes law enforcement agencies that have no incentive or desire to do anything about it. You know, we don't like the cops here, but I'd prefer that there not be any cops who are also fucking Klan. I know we say cops and Klan hand in hand, and we've seen that at protest events, the way that the police treat, for example, groups of Black, Indigenous, and people of color, over history, groups of queer people. The police have been fairly aggressive. And as we're seeing, as like just over the last 6 months, the Proud Boys are showing up at some of these anti-vax events. Other sorts of 3%er groups are showing up. Other sorts of like right-wing extremist groups are showing up at these anti-vax events. And the police are a little polite. And I don't know. I don't want the police like going ham on everybody all the time. But there's a bit of a discrepancy in how crowd control is done depending on who the crowd is and maybe what shade they seem to be, or if there's just too many, you know, maybe not so much now, but 20 years ago, if there were too many gay people or whatever, queer people in the crowd, the police had a little bit of a different tactic too. Don't know what the state is of the police right now with queer people protesting. I think that gay marriage maybe kind of made it so there's less protests by queer people like me. I don't know, though. But I know that queer people were very much involved in the Black Lives Matter protests. My group, LGBTQ+, have always generally been hand in hand with liberation of people of color, because most of us still know what it is to be discriminated against in society. And hopefully one day that won't be the case, but we'll see. Anyway, we haven't done much. We did a little Sean Hannity in the upfront. He's not an anti. He's not an anti-vaxxer, we found out, but he is still a ghoul. And here's a clip of him talking about how Joe Biden can't relate to people who lost family in the military on some pointless errand that Joe Biden voted to send them on.
Biden goes to the UN last week and says that he's turned the page. How do you turn the page on Afghanistan, leaving hundreds of Americans behind and their families, leaving behind thousands of green card holders, leaving behind tens of thousands of Afghan allies, on top of the $80 billion in equipment, on top of the biometrics and the computer database information that exposes every single Afghan ally, and they'll all be killed. I mean, how do you screw it up that bad when you could have easily pulled everybody out in March and April and May and June and July? Why?
No, there's no good answer to that question, Sean. But last week when Biden went to the UN and spoke, if they weren't laughing at him at his face, they were laughing behind his back, because
what
has become of America with Joe Biden in the chair as president, as commander in chief, how much he's bungled Afghanistan. But the projection of American weakness
that's not Alan Alda, no. Sounds like him a little, though.
Just the first 8 months of being president, I never missed Donald Trump so much as I did last week when Joe Biden was at the UN apologizing for America, apologizing for the strength and toughness that Donald Trump brought to the White House over the last 4 years, and the America First policies of Donald Trump versus the weakness and appeasement and the projection of weakness that Joe Biden expressed before the UN last week. I'd never missed Donald Trump more than I did in that moment.
Now, I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. It's like everyone wants to just put this aside and not talk about it. I, in good conscience, I don't live my life that way. All I'm thinking about is, it's easy for him to turn the page. It's not his family. I mean, but I can share your pain. You know, he's telling the families of the 13 military men and women that were killed over there. And okay, but you know, your son died of cancer. These men died because of your stupidity and your ignorance. I mean, how many months were we watching the Taliban just roll over this well-trained Afghan army that Joe Biden was bragging about in July?
I guess there could have been a more orderly withdrawal of troops, but I also think, like, no matter what, if a Democrat, it didn't even have to be Joe Biden, right? Say Bernie Sanders won. And if Bernie Sanders would have been overseeing the removal of American troops from Afghanistan, these people would have called it a fucking fiasco too. I think there's, you know, these, first of all, we were getting our asses kicked and we left. We lost. Losing a fucking war, you just lost. You don't get to leave looking hella strong and shit. You just lost. You fucking leave with your tail between your legs or whatever. You know, fucking Afghanistan is the fucking place where empires go to die. And we left. I don't know. It wasn't perfect. Whatever. Better we left than didn't leave, though. We should have left years ago. Obama should have gotten us out of Afghanistan. Some people say that Joe Biden was pushing for that as the vice president. I don't know. Wasn't privy to the meetings for whatever reason. There was no winning. There's like no winning with somebody like Sean Hannity unless you're a Republican, because then no matter what you do, it's great. And the media is just trying to get you if you're doing it wrong. No, actually, the media is just trying to make it look wrong. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert on Afghanistan, but I feel like there's just no winning with fucking Sean Hannity. Well, here's Tucker Carlson. He's going to interview a nurse who resigned from her job because of the potential of a vaccine mandate at her job.
To leverage fear to crush their political opponents. And if that means fining people $700,000 for employing someone, throwing the weakest people in our society out on the street with no unemployment insurance.
What?
And no health insurance. They'll do it. Cassandra Radulich is one of the victims of this latest purge. She is an ICU nurse who just left her job at a hospital.
Instagram influencer.
Because of vaccine mandates. Cassie Radulich joins us tonight. Cassie, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it's our honor to
live, laugh, lose your job.
Tell us why you left your job.
I left my job when policies were being rolled out at our hospital that would ultimately initiate the segregation of its staff on who was vaccinated versus who was unvaccinated. So mandates hadn't been rolled out yet. They weren't forcing us at this point to take the vaccine or be fired. But they were rolling out policies that gave different treatment to vaccinated people versus unvaccinated people. And it was not only that I was uncomfortable with that and unwilling to cooperate with that kind of treatment. But unfortunately, I had seen this treatment play out to my patients as well, where doctors and unfortunately some nurses that I worked with were bullying and harassing my patients for making a medical decision. But as a nurse, I took an oath, and you know, that oath was to practice and uphold the standards of my profession faithfully. And number one in the nursing code of ethics is patient autonomy and the patient's right to self-determination. So when I felt like I could no longer work in this environment that would uphold and honor that commitment I made as a nurse, I knew I had a decision to make, and it was time for me to walk away.
This is poisoning our society at the most basic level, I would say.
Yeah.
I have to ask, since you are an ICU nurse and you treat...
I hate the way that some Twitter videos just kind of get cut off at what it appears to be a random point. But this lady, she wasn't even facing being fired yet. She could have stayed longer, collected some more paychecks, kept her health care for a little while longer, maybe started to go look for a job at somewhere else while she did it, while that was going on. But nope, she left her job and then played the victim and then went on Tucker Carlson. So I think she likely has ambitions of becoming some kind of health freedom celebrity. That's a fucking growth industry right now. So yeah, I think that's probably like a highly likely thing that's going on here. And our next Tucker clip is, he's going to talk about George Soros, of course.
Why would you do that to a country? Well, if you hated the country and wanted to destroy it, that's exactly what you'd do. You won't be surprised to learn, and this is directly related, that George Soros is also, through his Open Society Foundation, funding an organization resettling Afghans in, quote, communities across America without the consent of the people who live there. Doesn't matter what you want. You're just a citizen. Shut up. George Soros is richer than you. He decides what you get. What's interesting, however, maybe not totally surprising, but you should know about it, is that key members of the Republican establishment are helping George Soros do this. The project is called
Welcome.us.
Former President George W. Bush, this pains us to tell you, but it's true, is involved. So is his brother Jeb, exclamation point, his wife Laura. They are joining the Obamas and the Clintons as honorary co-chairs of Welcome.us. They're all...
Sounds like everybody's lining up against you, Tucker.
Because they, quote, share a common belief that welcoming newcomers is inherent to who we are. Once again, a lecture about who we are by people who have no idea who we are because they know nothing about the country. The group is also being funded by big corporations, of course, Walmart, Facebook, Microsoft, Uber. They're excited. What's interesting, though, is that welcoming newcomers will not include settling any of them in Martha's Vineyard, with the richer parts of Dallas, Chappaqua, in any of the neighborhoods where the people funding this actually live, because that's not who they are. None of them will be settled in those neighborhoods, ever. They will be settled in yours.
Wait, when somebody moves into your neighborhood, you don't get asked permission no matter who they are. Like when I get new neighbors, they don't fucking ask me if it's okay for me to fuck for them to move to my neighborhood. Yeah, Tucker's a white supremacist. This is great replacement. This is replacement theory shit. Like textbook replacement theory shit. We'll let the rest of this play.
So we learned a lot about George Soros when we went to Hungary. That's coming up in an episode of Tucker.
Oh, yikes.
Later this year on Fox Nation, which is good.
Okay, so the worst version of the replacement theory is that like powerful Jewish people are importing brown people to replace your white lily ass. That's the worst version in the furthest down the rabbit hole version of the great replacement theory. And Tucker Carlson just did that. He just did that. So here's Mehdi Hasan. I generally like Mehdi Hasan on MSNBC. I generally dislike MSNBC. he's talking about how Tucker is mainstreaming the Great Replacement conspiracy theory and that's actually a bad thing.
There was once a dark story of a great replacement, a story filled with flagrant racism and neo-Nazi fear-mongering. A conspiracy theory so vile, so extreme, so dangerous, it was kept far away from the rest of us, on the furthest fringes of the far right. What is the Great Replacement? It's a story, or a theory, if you will, about liberal elites secretly changing our demographics, helping black and brown immigrants to invade America and replace white people. It's a white supremacist story about so-called white genocide. Scary, right? Bonkers, too. And yet this year, Fox's Tucker Carlson came along and thought, let's bring this idea into the light to a primetime cable audience.
I know that the left and all the little gatekeepers on Twitter become literally hysterical if you use the term replacement, if you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots, with new people, more obedient voters from the third world. But they become hysterical because that's what's happening, actually.
Yo.
Nativist and xenophobic ideas about losing our country to foreigners, about swarming brown hordes at the border, is as old as America itself. And Fox hosts and GOP politicians have been pushing opposition to foreigners coming into this country for years now. The Great Replacement Theory, though, is an updated and more extreme version of all of that, a modern-day rallying cry for the neo-Nazi far right.
Uh-huh.
Ironically, it was imported here from abroad, from France. From foreigners. The French writer Renaud Camus wrote The Great Replacement in 2011, a book that railed against Muslim immigrants, accusing liberal elites of orchestrating an anti-white genocide by substitution, and it quickly became a favorite of neo-Nazis across the West. Is it any wonder then that the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, which monitors the far right, especially anti-Semites, called for Tucker Carlson to be fired for referencing this awful racist garbage back in April, writing, "Make no mistake, this is dangerous stuff. Carlson's full-on embrace of the white supremacist replacement theory went too far." Fox refused to take any action against Carlson. Even though the ADL is right, this is very dangerous stuff. It fueled a hateful chance of Jews will not replace us in Charlottesville in 2017, a day that led to a neo-Nazi.
So Mehdi Hasan's leaving out the context of like why Jews will not replace us was being chanted. It's not that these people think that Jewish people are going to replace folks in their community. It's they think that Jewish people are like the fucking puppet masters of the great replacement and like basically brown migration north in Europe and to the United States.
A 32-year-old woman, Heather Heyer, when he drove through the crowd. Great replacement theory also inspired the mass shooting at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue in October 2018. 11 Jews were killed that day by a far-right racist who blamed Jews for bringing evil Muslims into the United States.
Yep, that's the part of the great... I don't know if it's in that guy's book, but that's the part of the great replacement theory that is like fucking completely anti-Semitic too. Is that they just think that like elite Jewish folks are importing a bunch of brown people into their white neighborhoods. Fucking scary stuff.
In March 2019, a far-right shooter massacred 49 people in two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, after posting a 74-page declaration online. You know what it was called? The Great Replacement. In El Paso, Texas, just months later, another far-right shooter killed 23 people in a Walmart, many of them Latinos, after drafting a document which referenced the Hispanic invasion of Texas and cultural and ethnic replacement brought on by the invasion. great replacement theory gets people killed. And yet you now have Tucker Carlson, the most influential right-wing cable news host in America, defending it.
That's enough of that. It's kind of a longer clip, but it's good to see somebody somewhere like talking about it. People are talking about it all over Twitter. Like, you know, the Majority Report talks about it. We talk about it here, but like other cable news outlets seem a little hesitant to do it. And I don't know why. I have no idea why. I guess it's just because he's one of their colleagues or some shit. Like professional courtesy to like not call a fucking full-on white supremacist at another news organization a full-on white supremacist. I don't know what it is. It'd be interesting to find out what it is. Anyway, here's Matt Gaetz. He's going to be all scoldy to a general named Mark Miley. They hate Mark Miley right now, by the way.
You said yesterday that you weren't going to resign when senators asked you this question. And I believe that you guys probably won't resign. You seem to be very happy failing up over there. But if we didn't have a president that was so addled, you all would be fired, because that is what you deserve. You have let down the people who wear the uniform in my district and all around this country, and you're far more interested in what your perception is and how people think about you in insider Washington books than you care about winning,
which this group is incapable of doing.
Yo, isn't the Republican Party supposed to have like a big fucking hard on for the military and shit? Like, aren't they supposed to like, that guy has like 4 stars on his fucking coat. I ain't no fucking whatever. Like, I don't think that like there's, you know, a 4-star general is particularly an excellent American or whatever. A lot of them have fucking overseen some pretty nasty stuff, actually. But it's pretty interesting to watch the Republican Party like basically lose their hard on about the military. I don't know what else to say. I don't know. That guy's pretty accomplished in the military. Like, you've gotten a lot of shit done at your job if you have 4 stars on your jacket. That's just kind of the way it works over there. This next one's really funny. This is Senator Max Blumenthal. He's going to ask Facebook to end Finsta, but he clearly has no idea what the fuck Finsta is. Finsta is just fake Instagram accounts. So what I called this on my docket is lawmaker who asks question he doesn't understand to Facebook, who wasn't going to answer the question even if it was asked in a coherent way.
Will you commit to ending Finsta?
Senator, again, let me explain. We don't actually do Finsta. What Finsta refers to is young people setting up accounts where they want to have more privacy. You refer to it as privacy from their parents. What in my interaction with teens, what I found is that they sometimes like to have an account where they can interact just with a smaller group of friends.
Well, Finsta is one of your Finsta is one of your products or services. We're not talking here about Google or Apple. It's Facebook, correct?
Finsta is slang for a type of account.
Okay, will you end that type of account?
I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're asking. What I can say is that based on what we've seen in terms of teens using those kinds of accounts, we've actually given them additional privacy options to address those kinds of issues where they want more privacy so that they can have more privacy.
Well, I don't think that's an answer to my question.
Even if you knew what the fuck question you were asking, she wasn't going to answer your question. She's there from Facebook with the fucking plants and books and shit behind her and a glass of water. She's there to not answer your question. But it would be incumbent upon you, Mr. Blumenthal, that when these people come to Congress and you get time to talk to them, that you spend some time with your staff. Make sure you have some young people on your staff. Make sure you have some people on your staff who kind of know what's going on in these fucking spaces. Spend some time with them so that when you ask a question, it makes fucking sense and this person doesn't get to just waste your time that you get to ask this question with by answering the question by telling you that you don't know what you're talking about. Because that was this, you just let this lady got to phone it in. The question should have been, there are people sometimes use Instagram, they'll use fake accounts on Instagram to harass people. What are you doing about that? That's a reasonable version of that question. But he just said, when are you going to end Finsta? And he doesn't even know what the fuck Finsta is. Good job. You just wasted your limited time that you have to put the screws to this fucking company. Thanks a lot, dude. Glad you've had your job in the Congress for so fucking long, Max Blumenthal. All right. Well, we're going to keep in the Congress here. We got Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is going to complain that she can't motion to adjourn before the prayer and the pledge. This is pretty wild.
You see, this government is failing the American people. And the more votes we take this week are going to continue to fail the American people. And this is why I walked in here this morning to make a motion to adjourn. But then I was told I couldn't make a motion to adjourn because we hadn't said the prayer or the pledge. It's very unfortunate.
Wait, what?
We should make a motion to adjourn because Congress should stop. Congress is the one ruining.
But like you do things in a certain order. They shouldn't do the prayer. There should be no fucking prayer in the Congress. That's stupid. Waste of fucking time. Fucking just divides people. I call her Marjorie the Gathering. but if the order of things is we do these things and then we start the session, once they start the session, somebody can make a motion to adjourn, I think. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but like things, there's like an order. I don't know. It's like a very fucking... it's like a body that has like a bunch of rules. It's been around for a while. It's a bunch of old fuddy-duddies, right? And they just fucking stick to the rules, I guess.
Lives of the American people, not helping them like they claim to do. You see, it's our federal government's role to keep our borders strong, safe, and secure. It's our government's role to never abandon Americans in a foreign country ruled by radical Islamic terrorists that would like to kill them just because they're Americans. It's not our federal government's job to pass a bill or consider even making a law, abortion up until full term, and then call it women's health care.
She's like all over the place.
Too much. It's out of control. So simply, I would like to make a motion to adjourn. And I think it's silly that I can't do so as an elected member of Congress representing.
Wait a minute. Why don't you use your time right now to make a motion to adjourn? What are you doing? I don't think she has any idea how to do her job.
The 14th District of Georgia, simply because we haven't said the pledge or the prayer. As you can see, rules in Congress just don't work because the rules here in Congress are allowing everything to continue to go downhill and hurt the people that pay the taxes and pay for all of this up here anyways. And that, Madam Speaker, I yield back the remainder of my time. Thank you.
What the fuck? That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard, like out of her mouth even. She's like, oh, well, they were telling me we couldn't motion to adjourn until after we do these other things that we do before we start the session. We watched two different dumb people from Congress being completely dumb in two different ways right there, right? Like Marjorie Taylor Greene just has no idea how to do her job. Fucking Senator Bloom, or as I think it's Congressman Blumenthal. I'm not sure. I think he's in the House. Whoever, Max Blumenthal knows how the fuck to do his job, but doesn't know anything else. Whatever. Here we go. So I guess Marjorie the Gathering had some kind of confrontation with people on the steps of, I believe, the steps of Congress. And she's going to, which she's on, what is this? Real America's Voice. She's going to talk about how she defends her, like she had a shouting match with people or whatever on the steps of Congress. It's fine. If you're a member of Congress and people are on the steps yelling, you go out there and yell back at them. But probably helps if you're not a dumb fuck. And Marjorie the Gathering happens to be a dumb fuck. And here's the clip.
Keep my mouth shut. The first group I saw when I came in on the steps was the squad, you know, all the so-called progressives.
Probably celebrating, of course.
Oh, they're all celebrating. They're all standing there at the top, and I can't even remember what I said to them. I think I said, are you happy? Are you all celebrating and happy that we're now able, you passed a bill that babies can be slaughtered up until the day of birth? How many mothers are here? You know, I just kept asking, and then I went out. And then they actually went inside when I went past them, and I looked back and they went inside, and I went down the steps, and there were so many Democrats. They had their signs, build back better women, build back better women. How on earth is it making women better by creating a law where they can kill a baby in their womb, even though the baby is about to be born?
They're not doing that.
Building back better women when we're turning men into women.
Yo, stop, you transphobe bigot. God damn, what's going on? Why?
putting boys and girls sports, men and girls bathrooms. How is that?
Just go to the bathroom.
Back better women. It's not. And so I just started speaking out. And
people started making fun of you.
Weren't saying anything to me, but it was Debbie Dingell, like a dingleberry. She started
Debbie Dingell, like a dingleberry,
telling me I needed to be civil to my colleagues and act the way I would act going to church.
Well, I mean, you're the only one with the guts to actually say it like it is. So, I mean, a lot of Americans, we're all grateful for that. I think the way that you're brought out to be by the media is just terrible. It's such a misrepresentation of, you know, what you're getting at there, because this really was.
There was video of it. Nobody misrepresented it. They made fun of her.
But I do think it's interesting that the Democratic Party is supportive of this, given their sort of mentality towards, you know, just regular citizens. They think that, you know, I mean, when you're supporting something like this, you're basically saying that there are less important members of society than others.
Yes.
And so it's not exactly surprising when you see the track record that they've been on with, you know, the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's, who are elitists by nature. And so it's not exactly shocking that they would support a piece of legislation that is not only racist, but also
how
says,
is it racist?
Oh, it's okay. We're okay with you aborting this baby. We don't care how you do it, when you do it. Doesn't really matter because we don't care about that. I mean, what does it say about the...
And that's not what any of these bills say. Oh, they'd be real short.
Hypocrisy. So well said what you just spoke. Here are these people that claim that certain groups of our population are so important, and they believe that life is so important that they are willing to shut down our economy, force children to stay home from school so no one dies from COVID. But yet all of them, except for one, Henry Cuellar from Texas, he was the only one that did not vote for it. Mm. All of them voted for this bill that is actually producing genocide in the black population.
Oh, yo, hold on. They're going back to this one. They're going back to this one. They're fucking going to watch. We're a couple weeks away from them fucking freaking out about Planned Parenthood and trying to pretend they care about black babies, and they're gonna fucking say that Planned Parenthood is aborting all the black babies. This is coming back. This is like the first it's just coming back a little bit with Marjorie the Gathering here. I hope that shit isn't coming back, because it's fucking infuriating and I hate it.
Dominated neighborhoods where, you know, and they're just pushing abortion as birth control. They declare that a child can be unwanted, therefore doesn't deserve to live, mm-hmm. and can be killed in a partial birth abortion up until
that's
the day.
That's so rare.
I mean, whether you're for
it. And nobody watching this even knows what the fuck a partial birth abortion is.
Like me, I would think that anybody would be so outraged at that bill that for the love of God, in that chamber where it says, "In God we trust," and that's
it shouldn't say that in the chamber.
I'm like, this place does not trust God. They don't even believe in God. When we are passing bills
that, I hope a lot of those people don't believe in God.
And we're fighting against this, and I refuse to be quiet anymore. It's not go along and get along. Marjorie, just be quiet. The Democrats are doing it so bad. We'll take back the House. No, I don't. I'm sick of that Republican Party. I'm fed up with the Republican Party that won't speak up, will not fight back, and just goes, oh, we're going to be in the majority next time. So that's when we're going to do some things. I'm like, no, you're not. You haven't done anything for all these years. This is why we're nearly $30 trillion in debt and on the verge of passing AOC's Green New Deal. So
are we on the verge of passing any kind of form of the Green New Deal? I don't think so.
I think I'm irritating up here, but I know the American people feel differently. And the great people back home in my district agree with what I'm doing. We have to stop this and we have to speak out.
Well, I have about a minute left, but I do want to ask, I mean, for years we heard from them, we don't want back alley abortions to happen. You know, that their fear was that all these terrible things were going to happen. Well, this bill would actually allow that. I mean, to your point, regardless of whether you're pro-life or not, this should scare everybody.
What's in the bill?
Essentially taking away states' rights to basically regulate these abortions and make sure that, you know, it's happening in a sterile environment by a doctor. No, you can get actually a pill over the internet to just take a pill and abort your baby, which is very dangerous.
Consult a doctor. Yeah.
I mean, no. Think of all the teenagers that are going to be condemned to possible death, or at least, you know, bodily harm because they've actually listened to the left. I mean, these people are putting young women in danger.
Terribly. And if we really care about women, like we say we do, then we should be telling women that the best thing they can ever do in their whole life is to be a mother. Mm-hmm. Being a mother.
But that's not the what I hate this shit here. This is fucking some Puritan fucking some puritanical shit. The some people, the best thing they can do is be a parent. Some people, not so much. Some people, would the best thing they could do would be something else. Maybe they're first person on Mars, or who fucking knows? The best thing that you can do for yourself is going to be different for you based on like what you're good at and what you enjoy. And like, what?
My whole life, no matter what I do my entire life, I will never do anything greater than being a mother. It is a true gift. Whether a pregnancy is planned, whether the baby is born perfectly healthy or not, being a mother is life-changing, life-altering, and makes women better people. And these abortions, kids, like you just mentioned, these are actually things that can scar your body. They hurt you internally. And they not only that, they scar your soul. And women have to live with this. We should love for women and teach them, you know, how to care for themselves. And that would be being proud to be a mom. Yeah.
Yikes. So like the thing at the beginning where she was arguing with people, I don't care about that stuff. I kind of like politics loud and raucous as long as people aren't fucking killing each other over some bill in the Senate or whatever. I kind of like the UK, you watch their parliament and people are like laughing at each other and fucking clapping and booing and shit. It's kind of cool. And I think it also lets some of the steam off so that the people aren't going on to like America First or whatever the fuck and like saying all kind of crazy shit. I think it's probably pretty good. So, oh shit, we're like 14 minutes until red light already. We're going to go with our palate cleanser. This is everybody, if you're active on Twitter, you know this guy. This is Brett Tarun. He's going to talk about why he is not going to get a smoke detector.
Go ahead, call the city on me for not cutting the grass because it's part of the Halloween decorations, Becky. I'm tired of all of it. Why do my tax dollars go to fund the fire department? That's what I want to know. I don't even use it. Not once have we called the fire department. And it's within walking distance of my house. I should drive down there and ask for my money back. That's what I should be doing. Because it's my right as an American to have my house burned down if I want to. My forefathers died for that. That's called freedom. And what's the worst that could happen? My house catches on fire, and then my neighbor's house catches on fire, and then their neighbor's house catches on fire. Well, if you're too scared to have your house burned down, then don't have one. That's what I say. Live somewhere else. Stop telling me to get a smoke detector. We don't know the long-term effects of these things. The battery goes low, and next thing you know, it's chirping 24/7.
I do hate that.
We don't know what that does to the human body. Plus, I know tons of people that had smoke detectors and their house still burnt down. What's the point of that, huh? Sure, they were able to get out with their families alive, but their house still burnt down? What's the point of just being alive? And I'll tell you this right now. You keep your mandates off my house. I'm not getting a smoke detector. It's my house, my
So that's Brett Tarun. He's pretty funny. And that was our palate cleanser this week. It's been a little bit rough this week. Also, the upstream's acting weird. Thanks for toughing it out with me, everyone. Here's, it's been a little bit of a Tucker heavy episode this week, but we're going to go to Tucker in his wooden room. He's got Naomi Wolf on. She used to work for the Clinton administration. I think she worked for Bill Clinton. And now she believes in chemtrails and is an anti-masker and an anti-vaxxer. Great.
That is gone, and they've deconstructed it. And so now it's all about, like, what are the infection rates? Who's to blame? Are the red states to blame? Are the bikers to blame? Instead, we should be going back to American values in which
everyone's to blame.
Responsible for ourselves. Sometimes there are medical crises, typhus, cholera, you know, AIDS, polio, but we don't moralize it.
We didn't moralize HIV.
Everyone keeps right. The so laws you're from San
Francisco.
Intact.
You went to the famous Lowell High School in right. San Francisco. You're very much a product of that city. Wonderful city. And you. Which was the epicenter of the AIDS epidemic in 81, 82, 83, and, you know, for 40 years. we self-consciously...
Did you just say for 40 years?
Didn't do that.
Thank you.
And I'm glad. I mean, I don't, you know, blaming people who are dying, it's like the ugliest thing you could do.
No. Oh, no. This guy doesn't know what happened during the AIDS crisis. The federal government ignored it because it was gay people. That's a political decision. This is way worse. I don't know if it's worse, but this is pretty fucking disgusting. For me, I don't like this at all. You know, people I know lost people they know. I knew one person who passed away eventually of complications of HIV too, but it was absolutely political. The federal government knew about it and didn't do anything. The state government probably was a little better because California is generally a little better than the rest of the country. They didn't do much either. And so San Francisco and to New York, Miami, other big cities were left to fend for their fucking selves with no help from the fucking federal government. That is absolutely political. You don't have to talk about something 24/7 for you to be making highly political decisions about it. In fact, what you don't say is often as important as what you do say.
Hepatitis, which killed an awful lot of people, is spread primarily through sharing needles. We don't do it there either.
Yes, why? We've never... Wait, what? Yes, we've never demonized people who use drugs intravenously, ever. Never used it as politics when you're running for office. No, never, not even on Tucker's show in the last few years about San Francisco and needles on the ground and shit. Never done it. None of this shit has ever been fucking political. It's just COVID was political. I can't believe... Like, what the fuck?
How? Well, because if you don't moralize it, you can't gain control over right. an entire free society.
Dumb question!
No, it's these are the questions that should be being asked. And I think the AIDS crisis, the HIV crisis, is a perfect model of how different the expectations are now. Because I remember that time well. I was, you know, a young woman in a city. And people were learning about this very scary disease.
People in your city were. The people in the federal government didn't want to hear nothing about it. This was gay people. What a horrible segment. I'm glad I didn't watch the whole interview, and I'm glad we're not going back to the rest of that interview. Just whatever got cut off for Twitter is enough for us. But yeah, that's just incorrect. I mean, the federal government famously decided not to really pay attention to the AIDS crisis because, you know, who it was happening to. So we're going to skip ahead a little on my docket here. I'm going to have a bunch of stuff left over for Red Light and maybe for after the Media Wench finishes Meltdown Monday tomorrow night. Here's Mike Pillow. He returns to Fox for the first time in like several months, and he's going to complain about cancel culture.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and my pillow, but millions of you out there. Before all this started, I had already written in my memoir, I dedicate this book to anyone who's looking for hope. Well, right now, we're all looking for hope. I believe that my story is going to bring inspiration and hope to everyone. By the time you're done reading my book, you will believe that with God, all things are possible. To thank
how much cocaine does the book come with?
Support, I'm offering some of the best prices ever on my pillow products, including this exclusive bundle. You get my book and these five my pillows. They're all scenes right out of the Bible. And
oh
the
no! Oh dear!
You normally get this bundle regularly $219. Now just $99.98.
Five shitty pillows and a fucking book. Oh no! $100.
MyPillow.com/USA and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. Thank you and God bless.
Yeah, this is an ad that returned to Fox News, not his appearance on a Fox News channel. The description was a little unclear, and I try not to watch everything before the show because it's better if I'm not watching everything twice. Here's Mike Pillow. He thinks he's going to get 200 million signatures about supposed voter fraud in the 2020 election.
Do so. We're going to have that with all the attorney generals, that all the states going to the Supreme Court. It's called a quo warranto, and we're bringing there. I've been telling everybody about this for months now.
And but now is the time. But we need all of your help. You keep getting people to frankspeech.com. You've been doing a great
website
job.
Website barely works.
Our great lineup, and we're trying to get the word out every day more and more. But as we get closer to Thanksgiving, we got to get this petition filled up. I'd like to get 200 million people on it, and it should be pretty easy. If you're a family member, you go get your other family members to do it. Get your neighbors to do it. Everybody. This will be up by the end of the week. Also on Fix 20.
Yo, by the end of the week, he's going to have up a place where you can just claim to be anybody and sign the petition. People are just going to go on there and claim to be their neighbor, their brother, their sister. It's going to be like all fake fucking. Yeah, oh yeah, that painting. Hold on. We got to take a look at this painting. Everybody on the podcast, there's the most awesome painting of a lion behind this guy with a Jesus Christ with the crown of thorns on his head, kind of behind the lion. You have to like check out the Twitch replay or whatever. Actually, I'll take a screenshot. I don't do this much during the podcasts. You can go to echoplexmedia.com/shots. And you can find screenshots in no particular order from all of our shows. All right. We're going to move on to, I think we can I cram two more stories in before we go on into red light. This next one is, it just says on my docket here, it says religion so fly, so smooth. This is going to be some like, well, here you go.
Close your ears, let them hear the New Testament today. It starts with four writers who had lots to say. This Fantastic Four had different views. They're the God Quad Squad who spread the good news.
I'm glad that the friendly atheist cut that off after just like 20 seconds, because that was like worse than anything we've ever heard on Fire by Night. That's on our Thursday show, The Cults and the Satanic Panic. You can find it here on Twitch podcast listeners. Do one more. We're going to do one more. And this is Dumb Dumb Dave Rubin. Got real mad at Gloria Allred, of all people, when she asked him like a fairly simple question.
Yes, children could transmit the disease, although they rarely do, but the parents are all vaccinated if they're good, decent citizens. So I don't really understand the connection, actually.
Are you a good, decent citizen? Are you vaccinated?
It's nobody's business whether I'm vaccinated. That's like me asking you the last time you got laid. I mean, it's just irrelevant.
All right. So, you know, what's really relevant is that it's one thing if you have the right
My medical history is not your business, nor you.
Dave, like she, like all she did was ask. He got hella defensive. You know why? Dave's audience, the people who like him, we're his audience in a way too, for better or worse. But his audience, the people who like him, it's full of anti-vaxxers. So he's for sure vaccinated, but he ain't never gonna tell anybody. You know how I know he's vaccinated? Him and his husband went out of the country for like some kind of vacation at a resort, and that resort would have required them to be vaccinated. So I know he's vaccinated, and he just doesn't want to fucking say so because the dumb fucks in his audience, a third of them, half of them, whatever, are anti-vaxxers. And so he just can't, he cannot do it. And that's pretty funny. And I guess that was the podcast. Thanks, podcast listeners, for checking the show out. Make sure you follow us at twitch.tv/echoplexmedia, because there's a lot more of this show. You're just getting kind of an hour in the middle on the podcast. Support this project, patreon.com/echoplex. And if you want to join the hive mind, see what everybody's up to, and throw stories my way to put on various shows, discord.me/echoplex. Song is by Periscope. We've been playing a lot of Periscope lately. This song is called Meet Cute. And I'll be right back with Red Light and a Cocktail.